What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Here's Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. All right, let's get to something important. I can't think of anything, so thanks for coming on.
You bet, it's great.
You just got back from Las Vegas, Big 12 football media days. Something in that doesn't sound right, but here we are in the brave new world of college athletics. How'd it go? It was only about 115 out there.
Oh, it was lovely. It was every day you left the Legion Stadium, you go, that was a productive day. We got a lot done. Open the door and like, I'm going to die now. I mean, it was like walking into an oven. It was it was a good event. They did a good job. Maybe not quite as organized as it has been in the past, but that also might be a function of being in Vegas and you didn't have a bunch of, you know, possible interns to help you out just sitting around in Texas. You were way out in Vegas, but yeah, it was a good event. And I say this honestly, I feel like this is a new conference. You know, over the last 2 years, I've added half their membership, and I just kind of feel like this is a whole new thing.
So I've seen Fitz some stuff flying around. I don't know anything like in print necessarily, just some tweets and graphics and stuff like that, comparing Lance Leipold and Bill Snyder. Obviously, we don't have the full body of work from Lance Leipold yet, but kind of comparing the situations that they took over. Do you see a favorable comparison between Kansas of 3 years ago and what Bill Snyder took over at K-State?
No. I mean, historically, I mean, just the fact that when Bill Snyder took over K-State and its entire history had been to one bowl game in 1982 and lost it. I mean, there was just no foundation. They honored Vince Gibson. You go back and look at his records, and he was pretty average. So, yeah, I mean, overall, the facilities were well behind where KU is. Now, wrap your mind around that. Well behind where KU is in terms of, you know, what was proper for the time. And he didn't have the transfer portal. He didn't have the ability to do some of the things you can do now. It took him 5 years to really get it up and going before he had the breakthrough through season 93. And what I do see comparisons of is how they're going about it and how good they are as coaches. I see that comparison more than the situation. I'm not saying he's not climbing a mountain. I'm just saying it's probably not just, it's not quite as a steep climb as Bill Snyder did, but it doesn't mean it's not remarkable what Lance Leipold's doing.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest. I'll get to a question here from Jason in a minute, but that kind of stuff, that how's Leipold doing compared to Snyder, that brings out the old sports columnist in me, because that's a social media fabricated nonsense, in my viewpoint. We need several more years to see what happens with KU. Secondly, I think it's very likely that no one has done a more transformative job of coaching than Bill Snyder. There you go. That's my 2 cents. Go ahead,
dude. I agree.
Tim, how do you think this dynamic between Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards is going to go? And then just a little deeper on that, is there any ill will by anybody up there with Dylan Edwards coming back after he committed and then decommitted and, you know, that whole kind of circus that happened last year?
First of all, Jason, thoughts and prayers that you stepped into this family crisis that it's called a radio show. but no, I think
he's
they're
part
gonna be
of the
fine.
Family now, think, so
okay,
part of the crisis, too.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Man. I think it is the weapon they needed to get that extra step on everyone. It's going to make them very hard to defend with all that speed and flexibility. I've said this before. I'm really interested to see how they use those two and DJ Giddens and some of the other players they have and try to get them on the field in threatening ways, you know, in ways that'll mess with the defense and make coordinators stay up trying to figure out how to stop all these with read options and different things. And there's been no tension. In fact, it's been almost a welcoming back to the family. Like, you should have been here all along, and I think Dylan realizes that. He did his thing, and it didn't work out, and he immediately came back home where he felt it was best to be. I think it's been a good arrangement so far. I think everyone is enjoying having Dylan around, and I think Avery and Dylan are thriving together. They're happy to be back together.
Tim Fitzgerald, our guest, GoPowerCat.com publisher. Lots of K-State news in that publication. If you're not a subscriber and you're a K-State fan, or even if you're just a Big 12 fan and you want to keep up on the goings-on, it's a great source of information to do that. So let's talk about Avery Johnson, because he did get some reps last year. He was on the field. He had moments of greatness even. But he wasn't the starter. He wasn't the full-fledged starter. Is there any percentage that it's not going to be as good as K-Staters think it's going to be?
Yeah. You know what? I mean, this is a pretty high bar people like me have set for Avery. So there is a chance. I mean, look, what happens if he goes out in the first game and twists a knee and never is quite the same the rest of the season? So, you know, there's always injury factors in there, but everyone who's around Avery sees it both on and off the field, that this kid isn't the same. I mean, he's down there Big 12 media days, I don't know, was he 19, maybe 20 years old, just handling it, just no problem. He's a cool cookie, and he just kind of handles everything thrown at him. So, you know, I spoke to Joe Klanderman on my private podcast, Life of Fitz, a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, whether it's incredible success or frustrating failure, Avery Johnson's going to handle it just fine. Now we'll see what the fan base does. They might have a breakdown, but I think he's going to learn some lessons as the season goes on. He's going to make mistakes. Every quarterback does, particularly young ones. But if he learns from it and acclimates to the level of play, I think it's going to be really fun to watch this guy.
So I think they weren't on the same days, or Deion wasn't on the same day as Kleiman, but did you get a chance to be around Deion? Did you participate at all just as an observer in that circus? And how do you think maybe his act will play in a conference where he's not as secluded as he was in the Pac-12 and some of those games are on late and maybe not as many people watched him? He's still Deion. The eyes were on him, but is there a difference, do you think, in the Big 12?
I mean, there's a great unknown here for all those schools coming in. When you've been in a conference with teams for a long time, you kind of get a feel for the challenge, whether it's the crowd or the logistics of the trip, let alone schematically the challenge. And now this is all new. This is all, they're all of a sudden thrown into a different environment, a different ecosystem for them to adjust. I didn't pay attention to Deion. I was doing some other stuff, and I know there was a lot of hoopla around him, but I find him less interesting than most people do. I'm not a believer that it's going to be a mess, but they've set an awfully high bar for themselves with the way they talk about things, so now they need to translate it to the field. But I think it's really hard to sustain things solely in the transfer portal for a football team. And the fact that he doesn't understand or, you know what a culture is, I think that's going to be a downfall. You've got to have a good locker room, and if you don't, the kids won't play for each other, they'll play for themselves.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, the new and changing face of the Big 12. K-State gets it off and running on the 31st of August. At home against Tennessee Martin, then the road game against Tulane a week later. They open Big 12 play against Arizona on Friday, September 13th. It's so stacked at the top. I think there was a real division amongst four teams, I believe, at the top of the preseason poll. Who do you believe, Fitz, has the strongest case to be the – I don't think there's a consensus favorite, but who has the most ammunition to be considered that?
Well, I think it's probably Utah because, you know, it's hard to tell in the Big 12 whether your schedule's easy or not. You kind of got to get into the season, but there's a feeling that they have a little bit simpler path to get – to Arlington for the championship game, but I know this. If you split the conference in half and you say these eight teams are really good and these are the bottom eight, you've got a good chance of one from each group will end up in Arlington. That's what makes this conference fun and exciting. It's what Brett Yormark talked about. Is it's going to be chaos. It's going to be a lot of teams that maybe we don't think are as good rising up and being really competitive. There's just going to be fantastic football all year long. So I'm not going to be surprised outside of Arizona State and maybe BYU Cincinnati. I'm not going to be surprised if anyone else is in Arlington. That's the kind of conference it is.
How much is the possibility of the best team coming out with expansion? Not everybody plays everybody. Road games, yeah. Home games. I mean, I guess that's kind of every year, but how much is the possibility decreased that we get the best team coming out of the Big 12?
That's a good point. I mean, you know, you look back when the Big 12 had divisions, there was some stability in how the schedule was done. I mean, you played five-year games within your division, and then you play half the other division in two-year periods, and you know, yeah, there'd be some advantage there. Some years you'd be loaded down, and other years you wouldn't be nearly as bad. But this is a lot more just kind of messy because in some ways the games are just kind of thrown against the wall and pairings are made. So it's going to be – someone's going to come out of this with a very advantageous schedule, and someone else is going to be just facing a gauntlet every week because it just happens a couple of teams we thought would be – mediocre ended up being pretty good. So, yeah, this is going to be really imbalanced in some of these schedules.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. So as I look at this, and I'm certainly not as deep into it anymore as I used to be or as you are, but I look at Oklahoma State, and they've lost now their in-state rival, Oklahoma. They've lost Texas. Not that that was a huge thing, but it's another Southern team. And they've seen all this transformation in the Big 12. Is there any feeling of Oklahoma State people that, man, this conference doesn't feel like nearly the fit it used to? Am I reaching for that?
I mean, let's be honest. If they could go to the SEC, they would. Everyone would. Because of the financial benefits of it, unless there's something really cooking behind the scenes we don't know about. I think they probably do feel like this is a watered-down experience for them more than anyone else. I mean, look at KU, K-State, Iowa State. They're still all together. And Oklahoma State's kind of in that grouping, but not really because they were in the Southern Division. And I think now you probably look at Oklahoma State and Texas Tech as the rivalry between two teams there, if you want to create one, if that's even possible. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've lost some high-profile possible opponents when those two schools left. And now, I mean, from perception, it's going to be hard for them to get the wins that will move the needle nationally, even though the teams might be just as good or better than the brand names. They're not brand names.
And I'm not buying into Bedlam as a non-conference game. It just doesn't work for me. All right, Fitz.
No,
thanks for
you.
Coming on today. I appreciate it. We always appreciate it. Glad you survived the heat in Vegas, and we'll get you on soon.
Okay, boys. Thanks.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.